fruity Malcolm Blight this morning. Now we move to another legend of Australian sports. The Ashes retained at Old Trafford. Now the chance to win a series on English soil at the Oval. One of the most welcome sights around the team has been Steve Waugh, the last man to bring the Ashes home from English soil. And it's my great pleasure to welcome him to the program. Steve Waugh, welcome to SEN.
Thanks very much.
If anyone would know, Steve, it would be you. How do you regard what this team has been able to achieve over the past month or so?
Oh, look, it's been an outstanding performance. And you can see where the team was only a month ago after Cape Town. It was a bit of a train wreck there with people being dropped from the side and administrators going everywhere, changing coaching staff. Cricket was really in turmoil. So to think not long after that, we're in a position where we've retained the Ashes and hopefully can win it 3-1. That's a really great performance, particularly by the leaders. Tim Payne as a captain and Justin Langer as a coach have set the guidelines, the culture of the team, the way they behave both on and off the field. And, it's been an incredible transformation. I'm really proud that I've been associated with the guys for a couple of test matches over here.
What have you observed specifically at close quarters, Steve, that's impressed you?
Just the work ethic, your professionalism. They really want to improve. I just think they're very humble. Seen a number of examples of that, just the way they treat people as spectators, as fans. Always want to sign autographs. Each morning, quite a few of us have got this walking club, and we go and have coffees. And I've seen a number of occasions the guys, sacrifice, give up their coffees for homeless people on the streets just to walk out and back from the coffee shop. So that's just a sign of the team that, they're aware of the people and they do care for people around them. That's, once they play for Australia, they're very down to earth and grounded, and that's a fantastic sign.
You've been a welcome sight back home, has been around the team. How have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, look, it's been really enjoyable. I mean, I haven't been associated in this capacity since I've retired. I mean, I've done mentoring behind the scenes, one-on-one with a lot of players, but this is the first time it's been an official role. And, I've enjoyed getting to know a lot of the players. It's a big group. You've got 17 players and there's equal number of support staff, so you've got to get to know those people and to find your place. And, the first week or so, I was sort of just observing and having a look around and trying to find out where I fit into the puzzle. But for me, it's about getting the players confident and relaxed and helping Justin Langer out, just overseeing things and seeing it from a different perspective. And a lot of the times, really, it's just confirming that they're on the right track. And sometimes you just need that voice of experience to just give you the extra bit of confidence that you are going the right way. So for me, 20 years playing the game, I saw all the ups and downs. So any problems that the players have got, there's a good chance I've experienced in my career. So I can give them a bit of a clear perspective on how to sort of go about things.
Has it lit any sort of fire in you, Steve, to keep some sort of involvement around this team?
It was basically a role where we just see how it was going to pan out. Originally it was for one test, then we began two tests, and then it grew to three and four tests. So obviously there's benefits for having me around the team, purely for the fact that even if it's perception that I'm here doing a good job, it's good for the team, and I've really enjoyed being a part of that. Whether there's a role going forward, I'm not sure. I just want to see how this tour went, and I guess we'll sit down, analyse it, and work out whether it worked for both parties. But for me, certainly, I've definitely got a bit of a spark back in. You do realise what an honour it is to walk on that field and play for Australia when it's such close quarters, and you see the guys go out representing the Baggy Greens. It really took me back to my career and the privilege we had of representing our country, because it is such a massive honour.
Those conversations that you would have, so you'd be aware that these are young men who are finding their way, and you are such a figure in the history of Australian cricket. How inquisitive have you found them? How are they? Are they sponges?
They definitely are. Look, and you've got to get to know them first. I mean, I didn't want to come in there and tell them everything and tell them how to play their cricket. I mean, that's not my role. They're international quality players, and I can't go in having just met these guys and say, look, mate, your technique's no good, you've got to change this and that. It's more about fine-tuning things and talking about the mental aspects of the game. And I think at this level, even, people take it for granted, or they think that these guys, are relaxed and confident the whole time. But, a lot of times you just say maybe a quiet word in your ear to say, look, you're going well, I believe in you, you're looking fantastic in the nets, your time will come. Or if they're having a lean trot, maybe you can give them some shortcuts as to how they can turn it around. So I guess it's a roadmap to success that I learnt through my 20 years, and the guys are very open to that. And the more I get to know them, the more questions they're asking.
It was emotional at the end of Old Trafford. We could see that on telly. We all felt it back home. It was 3:15 in the morning back here. Did you feel the emotion when it happened as well?
Oh, for sure. Look, that was a major breakthrough for the team, and really courageous to come back from what happened at Headingley. They didn't do much wrong there, but they lost the game. Everyone expected them to win, and that was, you know, it could have gone two ways. It could have really deflated the group, and things could have gone pear-shaped. But the way they committed to training and their professionalism and their really positive outlook and coming back and winning a really hard test match. I mean, all four test matches have been very mentally draining. They've been undulating, and they've been up and down and really emotional. So the guys are pretty fatigued. But to hang in there and to win on that last day showed a lot of character for that team. I think as a unit, they've really developed, and their identity of a team is being formed much in the same way as we did back in 1989, where we were underdogs and no one was quite sure how we were going to go. We all of a sudden we won that series and we took our games to the next level. So I can see this side really developing from this point on.
So you weren't there at Headingley. Was that hard to observe from afar when it got away in the last hour?
Yeah, look, I watched the first things when we bowled them out for 67. I said, well, they're really missing me. Obviously, I've had a big impact. That's what cricket's like. I mean, I look back to the Calcutta test in 2001 when we were expected to win, and then Dravid and Laxman played these incredible innings. That is sport. That's why people love it. It's unpredictable. And Ben Stokes played one of the all-time great innings. I don't think the Australian side let themselves down at all. In fact, they went all the way, and if a couple of things had gone their way with particular decisions, they still could have won that test, but they didn't. And I think in a lot of ways, it'll be beneficial to the team in the long run, because it definitely built some character and built some resilience that all great sides need to have.
Did you? So when you linked back up with them at Old Trafford, did you think, oh, I wonder how they'll be? I wonder how a team will respond to disappointment like that? And what did you see?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I was probably fortunate in the fact that they had a tour game against Derby after that, so they had some time to sort of analyse it and to soak it up and to move on. And by the time I got there to linked up with the team at Manchester or Old Trafford, they were pretty much over. We still had a few conversations about it, but generally they were looking forward and really keen to sort of put a line in the sand and to, in a lot of ways, put their best foot forward to Manchester and show their true character, because I think under adversity, that's when your true colours come out. So that Manchester test was a test in a lot of ways. It was a test of durability, I guess, resilience, determination, patience, all those traits you need. And they really showed them up in that previous test and really played a great game of cricket.
You know Justin Langer so well from his playing days, and now to see him as a coach. What's most striking about him, Steve, in how you've seen him mature, assume this role, and he looks like the exact right man at the precise right time for Australian cricket?
Yeah, look, I think his passion. He has 100% commitment to the job. You know, he's going to give everything to make sure this team improves, not only on the field but also off the field. He's there's some tough love there, but he really is a father figure. The guys respect him, and they've played in such a Tim Payne deserves a lot of credit as well. They really worked together well, Tim Payne and Justin Langer. But for Langer, it's almost an obsession. He wants his team to get better. He wants his team to be the best team in the world, and he has a plan, and so far it's going really nicely. So he brings complete and utter commitment to Australian cricket, and that's something that we're very lucky to have, because there's not many people that would be 100% committed to this task, and it wasn't an easy role to take on.
There's an old quote kicking around from about 2011 where you'd identified the leadership qualities in Tim Payne, and it turned out they were needed many years down the track. What sort of captain has he been in your eyes?
Look, he's very calm, measured, and he's got the respect of the players, and they listen to whatever he says. He's a good leader, and he's developing, and he pulled all the right strings at Manchester. That wasn't an easy test to captain, particularly after the previous one, and he got a bit of criticism, I thought, unfairly. He's really grown into the role and has complete respect to the players, and that's what you want as a captain. And for him, he'd like to score that big Test Match 100. Hopefully that'll come at the Oval. But, he's a fine keeper and a fine leader of the men, and he plays in the right spirit. I think Australians are are really proud that he's the captain of our team.
Will this series always be defined by the batting exploits of Steve Smith?
It's hard to get past that, I think. You know, and probably Ben Stokes, I think it's been a player from each side who's performed some amazing innings as that will go down in Ashes history. I mean, Stokes is 200s, particularly one that Headingley was out of this world, and Smith has just been on a different level and has really taken the game to rarefied air, maybe not since Don Bradman has been such a domination of one player of the opposition. And if he finishes off with a 100 at the over, which is more than likely, because he's played there twice for 200s, he will go down as one of the greatest individual performances by anyone in any series.
Do you feel blessed, privileged to have seen him do it?
Oh, look, I think I feel privileged because it's such a unique player, and the way he prepares is so different, and how he analyses and knows his game is on a different level to everyone else. He's almost ahead of his time in the way he prepares. So just to see him, I'm really interested in, there's lots of words I could use about him, but he's definitely a one-off, and Australia's lucky to have him. I think he's only going to get better. That's the most dangerous thing for oppositions. He's such a lover of the game and an analyzer of his own form and technique and methods that, he's worked the game out, and at the moment he's it's just phenomenal what he's doing. He's just winning matches for Australia with his batting, which is not an easy thing to do at all.
At the other end of the spectrum, when a batsman is in a duel with a bowler that he is now losing, so Dave Warner versus Stuart Broad, how does a man work through that? Have you had any conversations with Warner in the last few days?
Yeah, a lot of people have. I think it's just about building confidence. And going back to when he was playing well, what was he doing well when he was scoring a lot of runs? And for Dave, it's sure, it's got to be, his movements have got to be sharp and precise, and he's got to play down the ground. He's got to be positive, and he trained exceptionally well today. It was a real spring in his step, and I'd be very surprised if he doesn't do well in this test match. I think he's on, and he's ready to go, and he wants to prove that he's a world-class batsman. You don't get 21 test centuries without being a fantastic player. He hasn't shown that yet in England, but I certainly wouldn't doubt him scoring a lot of runs at the oval, particularly the way, as I say, he trained today with a real purpose and a real intensity that suggests that runs are going to come.
Do you feel do you feel an emotional bond to this team now, having lived good portions of this series with them?
Oh, definitely. I feel very protective of the team. If someone sort of has something negative to say about any of the players, I feel as if it's they're saying, I do take it personally, and I know the pressures these guys are on. I know they all want to do well, and sometimes it doesn't happen. So you do feel for the players that are out of form, and I'll certainly back these guys 100%. If anyone speaks negatively of them, I'll certainly jump in.
Very good. It's been a week of extreme emotions back home, Steve. There was elation around the achievement of the Ashes, and then later that day there was the passing of Danny Frawley. As Gavin Robertson, an old teammate of yours, sent me a photo from Tasmania a couple of years ago and a cycling trip with Danny. Did you get to know him a little bit over the years?
Oh, I got to know him really well. He's a really close friend of mine, and he's been on our ride every year for 5 years, and he's been the heart and soul of our ride. A true blue Aussie character, a larrikin, always up for laugh, always taking the mickey out of someone else on our ride. And, it's really been a huge shock to all of Australia, and particularly Steve Waugh Foundation, and the people who go on the captain's ride. He had so many close friends and mates who were devastated at his loss. He's a great Australian and a great character, and, I have many, many fond memories of riding with Danny, long days, and always a laugh, and as I say, always keen to be the first to take the mickey out of each other. So that's the Aussie spirit, and he really summed that up perfectly. So he's a huge loss for everyone, and I was very emotional when I found out the other day, because I was obviously heavily involved in getting our captain's ride going this year, and he's a huge part of that. He and Gav host every night and doing an amazing job, and he's such a big loss. I can't believe he's gone.
How will you like to remember him, Steve, as time goes on?
We were actually planning on having a sort of mini event during the ride this year, because he always said, you skinny fit guys, let's see you go up a hill doing the same weight as us. So this year we were planning on having the lighter guys put some weights on their back and having a climb up a mountain to see who was going to win that. So I think that's a wild dog to remember Spud, but, you know, let's have a handicap race and all the skinny fat guys, let's see how they do it with a bit of weight on them.
That sounds about right. That sounds a neat encapsulation of him. Steve, thanks for your time today. And, enjoy the end of the tour. And thanks for your words about Spud.
No worries. Thank you. Cheers.
Steve Waugh, legend of Australian cricket, who's been in and around the team, it's a great insight to get to know the players and then imagine what those conversations are like, linking the current to the past and all the experiences, what a mentor he's been, and clearly open to the idea of continuing on in that role, having had very little involvement in Australian cricket, as he described, since he retired. Damien Fleming's going to be in shortly. We're going to ring the trade bell. Craig Jennings will be here at 11 to take the deep dive into these semi-finals. He'll give you the themes, how he sees it, pick up the conversation from last week, which really did resonate. And Rachel Griffiths, before we're done this morning, Ride Like a Girl, soon to be released in cinemas. Your messages, 0433 98 11 16. Give us a call on the cricket. Steve Waugh, Damien Fleming's about to join me. This is Waitley for Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that's Red Energy. And experience the difference at Doncaster BMW.